Welcome. It's a beautiful Friday, and you are listening to We're Just Saying. And I, as it's becoming painfully obvious, am not Senator Vicky Sawyer. My name is Sam Zobrist, and I am filling in for her today. I got a text a couple days ago and said, Sam, can you help? I'm going to be out of town. Can you fill in for me? And I said, sure, Vicky. I did this show a couple months ago with her, and I thought, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's great. Who's going to be in there with me? And then she gave me the shock of my life. She said, it's going to be the first dude of District 37, Brett Sawyer.
Good morning, Brett. And then your heart sank.
Then my heart sank. I said, oh, no, I will not. I'm going to be doing most of the talking because yes. Brett's a great guy. One-on-one, he's very chatty. He's very easy to talk to. But I thought, I don't know. But, Brett, it's just me and you. We're just having a conversation, and we're just having some fun.
Well, we really appreciate you filling in and helping out because Vicky has gone to Nashville to an NCOL meeting. So she's always busy and going and doing. So, yeah, this was definitely last second. So it should be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly do like to talk when it's just the two of us, and we can sit and talk about certain subjects on and on. So I think an hour will be pretty easy to fill.
Generally, it's over beer and chicken wings.
That's true.
This is unusual.
That's true. Can we get some beer and chicken wings in here? Then we'll. It might be a little noisier, but it'll be. It'll go much faster, and maybe after the beer, it'll be a little more lively too.
Yeah, so, maybe more interesting.
Absolutely. So, you were telling me though, as we were discussing doing this, you were telling me a funny story. I thought we should start with that. That Vicky used to be Brett's wife, and now you're Vicky's husband.
That's right. So this year we'll be married 25 years. And for the first probably 10 or 12 years, she was Brett's wife. And then after that, it turned into where I'm Vicky's husband. And I much prefer it this way, where she's out front, she's running. And then it just, you know, yeah, that's way better. I'm not the good front person.
I have attended a couple of different, you know, charity events and things with both of you, and absolutely, you can find Brett and Sam sitting in the corner. If there's chicken wings, definitely, there's not normally, but, you know, having a glass of pop or beer, and Vicky is always busy.
She's glass
always
of pop.
Sound
like
I know.
Sound like a Yankee.
Well, so interestingly enough, I moved here from Arizona, and I spent most of my life in Arizona. So I moved here from the West about 8 years ago, but I'm born in, and my parents are from Pennsylvania. So that's where the pop comes from. And I agree. Even in Arizona, when I used the word pop, people looked at me funny and thought, what pop? Well, what about your dad? I said, no, that's just how I was raised, saying the word pop. And speaking about being from places, you were, you know, out of the group of friends that I've made since I've been here, I was thinking about it. And I guess probably 50% are locals and 50% are from elsewhere. But it feels like every year that passes that there are less and less people that are born here from here and more people that have transplanted here. And you are born here, from here, Mooresville High School, class of?
That's right, 88.
88.
Class of 88. Yeah, me and my sister and uncle and my mom had the same English teacher. My mom had her first and I had her last. And she was very annoyed at me. I'm sure it's not because I was a terrible student. But
I couldn't imagine Brett being, you know, sitting in the back of a class making jokes and interrupting.
That barely got out of high school. Yeah, barely got out of college.
That would be shocking to me. Shocking. So,
but no, it is, you know, being from Mooresville has been absolutely fantastic. My mom moved here probably 75 years ago. God rest her soul. She died on April 1st.
Yeah, we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but yeah, so just being around here, we've seen so many changes and so many things. And my family's been in business for almost 50 years. But just watching the town, I think it's been absolutely wonderful to see what has happened in Mooresville. I think we've had some really good management through the years because we've had so much growth. And it's such a wonderful place that so many people want to come here that it's just a stunning place to live. But a lot of the locals, they are obviously, you know, not a big fan of it, you know, because it has changed it dramatically. But I just feel that Mooresville and the surrounding areas are so fortunate to have this because other towns have just almost died and they can't afford their sheriffs. They can't afford their sewer systems. And our problem is too many people coming.
Yeah. And the problem with having infrastructure keep up with the amount of people coming in. I've heard, you know, so I had a cousin actually that went to Davidson. He's about your age. He's in his mid-50s. So, you know, you can say that was about, 35 to 30 years ago. And he tells me stories about driving up to Mooresville from Davidson. And there was the Whataburger that we all know is still there. Is kind of famous. But it was nothing. I mean, it was really small. So you remember, what was the west side of I-77 like when you were a kid. I heard it was all farms.
Non-existent.
Yeah, yeah, there was nothing over there?
No, there was the, like if you go to exit 36 and see that gas station there that's got the big tall sign above it, it was Shell. It may be Shell now, but there's, instead of S-H-E-L-L, five letters, there's seven because it was a Texaco. And, but that was the only thing there. And then, you know, the Hardee's came in and some other things came in. And the only thing down in exit 28 where we are now was a ham and eggs. And there was nothing else here.
And yeah, that's kind of what he said. I almost didn't believe him because I moved here 8 years ago and seeing how it is now, I thought, how is that possible that just 30 years ago or 35 years ago that it was so different? But the growth here must have been, it must have been something to watch.
Oh, well, you know, it has, but it's been constant for my entire life. It has been absolutely constant. But, you know, starting off in, when I got out of college, I didn't want anything to do with insurance. So I went into real estate and I was wildly unsuccessful. But, you know, that's when I got to start paying attention to what was going on and things like that. And even now, when we talk about, you know, real estate and things like that, you and I both being brokers in charge of our own business is that, when I started back years ago, even interest rates at that point in time were 8%. And so now everybody's having, you know, conniptions about these numbers, and which are terrible compared to 2 years ago. But everything has changed. Everything has gotten more expensive. The phone book back in my day was tiny. It was about 10 pages. And then when they still had phone books, it was a big, giant book. And I think we're supposed to, I can't remember what Chris Carney said, but the mayor, new mayor of Mooresville, that we should be about 100,000 in about 5 years.
That's amazing, because where are we now? Like 40?
50-something.
Oh, it is 50-something. I think when I moved here 8 years ago, I had heard somewhere in the 30s. So
yeah,
if it's 50, yeah, it's growing. Well, you can't drive down a road and not see new apartments or new houses or something new being built. And like you said, there is definitely two sides to the coin. I mean, there's my wife. God bless her. I love her so much. But we drive down the road and she just, every time we see a new apartment complex go up, I have to hear about, you know, oh, these apartments. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I mean, I get that apartments aren't the most favorable type of housing to be built in a community is probably single family residences. But these apartments also aren't, you know, low income apartments. These are very nice, very expensive to
rent. Extremely expensive.
Yeah, nice apartments. And so.
And they're all filled up.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, well, I get it. So I'm a man who sees both sides of the coin on a lot of issues, although I have some pretty hard right stances on things. I also understand that just because I believe it or feel it doesn't mean that it's going to work out for the whole community or the society at large, that there has to be some negotiation and some compromise.
I would agree that you have some hard right stances.
Yeah, I know. Vicky said the same thing last time I was here. And she's like, I've heard that you're pretty far right. And I'm like, I am, but I'm not.
You're reasonable.
Yeah, I'm not dug in. I mean, I'm dug into my beliefs, but I'm also, like I said, I'm not dug in to listening. And I actually think we're missing the time when people actually compromised. And I think that our local, you know, our state Senate and state House having super majorities, I've said this, you know, I wish it was at a time when we could actually compromise, but they're getting a lot of stuff done that's upsetting some people, making some people very happy. And unfortunately, that's what you have to do now, because if it swings the other way, they're not going to compromise. Can't we all just get back to when you come somewhere and meet in the middle? And
I hope so, because yeah. I think good ideas are on both sides, that if you always think you're right, then that's not correct.
All right, well, we're going to take our first break, and then we will be back on We're Just Saying.
Stay with us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicky Sawyer after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now back to We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicky Sawyer on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying. I am not North Carolina State Senator Vicky Sawyer, and that's probably a good thing.
Actually. No, you're
not. That's probably a good thing. She's in Raleigh, and Brett and I are not, because she's getting things done, and I don't know if we would.
She is not in Raleigh. Actually,
well, not at the moment.
She is in Nashville. Yeah, correct. Today, the reason she couldn't make it, that she is at the NCOL, which she is on it's a National Coalition of Insurance Legislators. So they deal with, like, they talk to the high ups at State Farm and the other companies that are senators or electeds that are insurance agents, and try to find out what's coming down the pike, what the companies are thinking about, which is something that we can talk about later, just the dramatic changes in insurance. But That's where she is today and the reason that she's not around.
Well, and that's, you know, that's all ties into what we wanted to talk about next was inflation. And when Vicky asked me to do this and I said, you know, what should we talk about? And she said, mics are yours. Talk about whatever you want. And I made a joke. Okay, it's going to be about, if it's what Brett and I like, it's going to be about chicken wings and beer. And she said, that's fine. And I actually wasn't, I was joking, but it's really leading that way. So last night we were out having chicken wings and beer and we were looking at the prices saying, golly, these, you know, these prices are just out of control. And really the price of everything is out of control. I have four kids and it's, for a while, it was really shocking. And I just noticed that recently it's becoming normal that I buy a few things and it's $40 at Food Lion. I mean, it's it's just so expensive and inflation is affecting both of our industries, insurance and real estate. And we've had a few discussions about, you know, what's happening with insurance rates and how people are not liking it. Of course, it's, you know, makes a lot of sense. But why don't you tell us a little bit about why insurance rates are changing so much?
Yeah, because it is dramatic. It's phone calls that I have every single day, all day long, that people are getting 30, 40, 50% rate increases almost year over year. And it is unbelievable what's going on that, you know, I don't feel sorry for insurance companies at all. I don't. I have to respect them and I have to respect my customers as well. And I have to make sure that I work in between both of them. But what is going on with these companies is that everything is taking longer to fix, dramatically more expensive to fix than even the rates can keep up with. So even with these 30, 40% rate increases, insurance companies are losing money. Some of the major ones that I work for, they're running at $1.06. So if they write a policy today, for every dollar that they make, they're going to spend $1.06. So that's what they're trying to get changed because insurance companies, they are not nonprofit. They are like Vegas. If they start losing, they're going to just tighten up and make more money. And it is extremely frustrating because, you know, you're not forced to have auto insurance in the state of North Carolina. You're forced to put up a bond, which is dramatically more expensive.
I actually didn't know that. So you're not required to have liability?
You can get a bond.
Instead of liability.
That does a tiny bit of coverage. It is stupid to do, but you can do that. And regular insurance is dramatically less. But people feel that they're obligated and required to, which they basically are. And then on your homeowners, you know, you feel like you're obligated and required. And if you have a mortgage, you are. And so they are tied to these companies that are making dramatic changes. And if you are with a company that happens to be very competitive, but you're still getting 30 to 40% rate increases, you have nowhere to run. And it is just sickening that I have these conversations with my customers all day, every day. Same thing's happening to me right now. I've got a car in the shop for the last 50 days that was wrecked by someone related to me that lives in my house.
Someone younger than you
is
probably your offspring.
Yes, that, you know, and she actually, it was a weird story that she had a wreck. She goes to UNCC and it was raining, you know, a couple months ago, and she ran into this car on I-85 or 485, and nobody was hurt, thank goodness, like that. And her car was drivable and actually no lights on, no nothing, and it all functioned, but come to find out it has $11,000 worth of damage done to it. The small world part of it was that I went down there in the rain standing and I met the other people that she ran into. And I said, hey, you know, I said, we're going to take care of this. This was her. It was even before the cop came. And when the cop got there, I said, yeah, this is what's going on. And I said, you know, who's your insurance agent? She said, well, I have Erie. I said, oh, good. I know them. I said, where's your agent? She said, in Mooresville. I said, who's that? She said, it's Sawyer. I said, oh, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I'm Brett Sawyer.
Yes. So that was a
My
very
name's on your insurance
small
policy.
World.
Yeah, that is funny.
But it is the costs are huge going up. And then companies are trying to just figure out how to manage it other than without rate increases. So they're using technology. They're giving discounts on newer roofs because they don't like older roofs. That roofs are giving them fits. And they're losing money. And people are the ones that are taking the beating.
Are some insurance companies, aren't they just leaving states altogether?
They are, yeah. Like, you know, big ones have just got downgraded. They're leaving states. They're canceling preferred customers because a preferred customer, they can't do as much to as a bad customer. Because if they're really good and you have good credit and no losses, they can't do much to you. You get the best deals that they have. Yeah. Which they have to get rid of. It's
that
weird.
Sounds so counterproductive, too.
Everything is upside down.
Absolutely.
Now.
That I have great credit. I don't, no accidents.
And, we don't want you.
Yeah, we don't want you. I know that sounds, it makes no sense. But everything, you know what? That's a good phrase for just the world today. Everything is upside down.
Everything is just not as it seems, and it just doesn't – I don't know how it functioned. It is just the craziest times that I've ever seen, because this is our – my family's been in selling insurance in Mooresville for 50 years, and it is just unbelievable what's going on.
It is. Things are weird. And we're talking about in the real estate world, too, inflation. So yesterday, some inflation numbers came out, and they were a little higher than they had expected, and instead of
– Thanks, Joe Biden.
yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe Biden. But I'm glad you said – that's right. I haven't said this yet. All views on the show of this host do not necessarily reflect the views of Senator Vicky Sawyer and this radio station, its advertisers. Brett Sawyer's views –
It's just Sam.
He'll have to deal with Senator Vicky Sawyer if he says views that are not – Not right. Okay, so we'll keep going. So, but no, yeah, absolutely. And the, where was I? Oh, the inflation. There you got me off a track talking about Joe Biden. The inflation is not coming down. In fact, it went up a little bit and it was unexpected. And so now they're talking about the Fed had planned on making some rate cuts throughout this year. And I've been following it and they've been getting pushed back and not happening. And now they're with this news. That's not good news for rate cuts. And they're going to go farther back, be pushed farther back, if any, this year. And, you know, mortgages. So mortgages aren't directly tied to these rate cuts, but they are. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. And I'm not an expert on it either. But as the rate cuts go, mortgages go. So we've seen mortgages go up to 7%. This week, or at least last 2 days, really, since this since the inflation news, and I don't see them coming down. We got lucky; they were down to maybe 6.5, and that's crazy to say. As you were saying, 2 years ago, it was, 3 years ago, yeah, it was 3%.
Low threes,
yeah, absolutely. And so, inflation is just it's just hurting everybody.
Because 30 years ago, when I was selling real estate full time. Unsuccessfully, it was, you know,
it's a hard business. Everybody knows somebody who is or was a realtor. It really is. It's a tough industry.
But the people were spending 7 to 8% on their mortgages, but you could get a house for $100,000.
Sure.
Which does not exist anywhere around here anymore.
No,
I mean,
I think
the average price in Southern Idaho County is what? 440?
Something like that. I'd have to look that up.
Low fours.
You're talking about, Southern Idaho County, then it's expensive. It's definitely an expensive place to live. And people thought that when these rates started to go up, I heard, everybody, there's a few subjects in groups that everybody wants to talk about. And one is real estate, because most people, not everyone, but most people own a home. Maybe most people our age, especially. The prices are going to crash. And I was like, the problem is, real estate is a supply and demand issue, and I get that the rates have gone up, and it certainly has slowed down the supply and slowed down the demand, but sort of they've sort of stayed at a parallel discrepancy, or they've stayed whatever the gap was between supply and demand. As supply dropped, demand dropped. So there's still a problem with there's more demand than there's supply, and so prices, although appreciation has slowed, which it had to have. If not, every house in Mooresville would be $1 million now. I mean, it was going for a year or two. It was unsustainable, and it was moving way too fast. And it could have led to a bubble bursting if it would have stayed at that. But now we're looking back to where maybe it should be 4%, 5%. I've seen different numbers. So it has slowed appreciation back to a more of a normal state. But if you're waiting to buy a house because you think that prices are going to come down, you may be making the wrong move.
In Southern Idaho County, has been that way for 30 years. It has been literally in a bubble. Like even in 08 and 09, when it was bad, it got bad here last and we corrected first.
Yeah.
So it was still, people's houses went down and, quite a bit. I think at that point in time, our house went down like 40%, but we didn't move. We stayed and we were on fixed money. So, we didn't have to worry about that. But it popped back faster than any other places. It's just that is just the proof of this bubble in Mooresville and Iredale County is just a wonderful place and we're having to grow and meet the need of all these people because none of these people tell us that they're coming. They all just show up. And, if they told us they're coming, then with schools and we can manage because the people that are elected, on school boards and commissioners and town commissioners and county and all these other people. The problems that they deal with are just dramatically from people that are coming that don't tell them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. Is there a place? Can they send us a letter? They can send a letter.
We need to set up an email
to the mayor of Mooresville.
Let Carney know that people are coming.
I'm coming. The list. My name's Bill Smith. I'm coming. I'll be there next week. So no, I agree. It's we've really enjoyed living here the past 8 years. And
that's how long you've been here?
8 years. Yeah, we moved here in the summer of 2016.
So. When did I meet you?
Year or two after that, and it really was over chicken wings, folks. We have a mutual friend, and he and I also like to eat chicken wings. And he said, "Oh, we're going to meet some of my buddies. One of them's Brett, one of them's Sam, another Sam actually." And so that's how we met, and a friendship was forged over chicken wings, and it remains strong over chicken wings at this point.
We may have them after we get out of here.
Yeah, possibly. That's true. I don't know. I don't normally do chicken wings for lunch.
No,
no,
just supper.
Yeah, just for dinner time.
Why not? So.
I don't know.
Well, you're anti-chicken wings. I have never
been anti-chicken wing, and how dare you for saying that?
Sounds like you're talking junk about them.
Do you have them for breakfast?
Yeah, leftovers.
That's true. I guess I might have done that before. So we have, Brett has a, and we can talk about it a little bit more. Brett has a chicken wing fundraiser. That's crazy.
Oh, that's right.
I'm really hearing how much our life is wrapped around chicken wings. So, all right, well, let's head to a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about that and several other things.
Very good.
Return with more of NC Senator Vicki Sawyer and We're Just Saying after this short break on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicki Sawyer on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
We are back on We're Just Saying. I am Sam Zobrist filling in for Senator Vicki Sawyer. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun, and I am here with she's your better half. And I don't want to call you your worst half because that sounds like an insult, but let's be honest. Our wives are our better halves. We're the worst half. So definitely I'm here with Brett Sawyer, Senator Vicki Sawyer's worst half.
That's right. That's correct.
All right. And I'm also over the commercial break, I've really started contemplating my life choices and how much chicken wing. How many chicken wings I eat? I think I'm going to have to make a change, Brett. I think this is leading me down a bad road, but on that, let's talk about some of the fundraisers that you do, and they involve chicken again.
Chicken again, yes.
this is, I'm really going to have to make some new life choices.
I have a monthly fundraiser that I do that's coming up next week? No,
it's next Thursday, yeah. I think
it's next Thursday?
The third Thursday of every month.
That's right. Next Thursday is really big. So my monthly fundraiser is chicken wings and beers named after Norm from Statesville, Norm's Wing Ding. And we meet, and you bring $25, and it's all the beer you can drink and all the chicken wings you want to eat. If you bring your spouse, then it's $40. Because I got two old guys that come together, but they understand that they can't be spouses.
That's true.
They have to pay separately. But Roddy always pays $60. So he's we have wonderful people, and we make a little bit of money, and then it goes to Rotary, which then goes on up and, you know, just does clean water and local projects and things like that. So I love that. Then also Rotary next week, which is online right now, if you can see us on Facebook, is the Porta Pit Barbecue, the chicken that we're having next Thursday. And there's a QR code on that you can see. Or you can just call me at 704-902-7080. Let me know, but we can get you some stuff coming for you next Thursday. And so that'd be for lunch. Jeremy Katz, the real estate agent, which is in there too, he's going to get there at 4 a.m. with the people and start cooking them. And then my Rotary starts packing them around. Then we start delivering around 10:30. We're usually out of there by 2:00.
And I will be, Brett and I will both be delivering. So I'll be driving around.
Sam's driving, not eating. He's saying he's driving.
That was a joke. I said, there's some moon pies. Is that what it's called?
Moon pies.
Yes. And he's going to start getting complaints from my deliveries. We only got 12 moon pies instead of the 14 we were supposed to. I have no idea why. I have no idea where it disappeared to. I didn't even have one. I helped deliver last year too, and I didn't even have one. There was extras, and I did. Maybe I'll try one this year.
They're not that good.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, that's what I kind of thought. Like they're probably not worth it for the.
They're not terrible. They're not my deal. No, I'd rather have more pork or more chicken or something. I'm more the protein guy.
Yeah, definitely. And so you were also talking about some scholarships or awards or something you're doing with local high school.
Just students? About kids. We were just talking about kids and fundraiser, what things go to. And so I'm on the Mooresville Rescue Squad Foundation, and every year we give away scholarships. And so we interviewed on Monday night and Tuesday night about 15 kids, and then got them narrowed down to about 6 or 7. And we were giving away about $35,000 to kids that are going into college. But these kids these days are just so impressive. These ones that we talk to, they're smart. They handle themselves well. They're comfortable with talking to you. And because, which I was kind of surprised, you know, because after COVID, now every one of them mentioned COVID because they're seniors now. And every one of them mentioned how it was a lost year and that they just felt so far behind in school and everything else. But it was dramatic. And I was shocked about how impressive they were. And so it's just kids these days, I think there's a lot of hope for them, you know, even though it seems weird and, you know, schools and everybody's arguing and stuff. But I think everybody's doing a really good job, at least around here in Iredell County, with producing some really good children. So anyway, we can help give back and, you know, and help children and help anybody is just, that's actually my love. I probably volunteer half the time that I work, but it's so interesting. Just meeting
absolutely. And I agree with you that kids are pretty resilient. And unfortunately, and there's a whole nother topic, and then we're hopefully all past it. And I mean, I believe we're never past anything that they could try to make us go back there. But let's talk about, you know, at COVID, I do believe that unfortunately, the children that were most affected by that missed year were children who needed that, who didn't have the resources, or the kids that needed a structured environment like school the most.
Yes.
And didn't have maybe the family support and the back. Those are the kids that got hurt the most. And that's what's really.
It is that the parents had to be at work.
Yeah.
And the kids had to do this on their own. And it was just absolutely terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what it's just another thing that, oh, I still get fired up over what they did, you know, for COVID and some of the things. And anyway, but yeah, unfortunate.
That's your right wing side.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I could get going on that.
Could,
definitely.
Yeah, you could crank up on that.
Oh, there were a few emails sent from me to school board, to our school board, to principals, to, I focused in really more on COVID requirements and masking and things during sports because my kids play sports. I have four kids. Like I said, one, my oldest daughter, she's more of a theater, you know, the singing, but my other three, my two boys and my youngest girl, they are way into sports. And so that was where I decided to look. I didn't agree that children should have masks on in school at all, like not for 1 minute, but okay, you know, you got to kind of draw your line. You got to draw your line in the sand and decide. You can't, you can't, if you yell about everything, no one listens to anything. So I decided, well, my cause or what I'm going to really get, you know, get behind is these making kids who are playing sports wear masks and some crazy things. What they did to my son playing football. And I don't even know if people know this, but I showed up to one of his middle school football games and I was confused because he had a mask on and I couldn't see his mouth guard. And I thought, that's weird. So I started asking some of the parents and they told me they had them cut the strap off their mouth guard, put it in their mouth and then cover it with a mask. And which is just I can't even believe still they did it because they, I mean, if you've ever played football and you know that sometimes if you get hit hard, you spit your mouth guard sometimes and, you know, it's strapped to your helmet. So it just dangles. And but that's, I would think that was such a choking hazard. And so I just. Yeah, I flipped out about that. There was a lot of angry emails sent to me, to coaches, to principals, to athletic directors, but
I'm just glad that part is done because now there's new challenges. That one thing that Vicky was working on, thank goodness that I think we've gotten changed, is that men in women's sports.
Oh, don't, yeah.
That is
Right. Don't get me started again about that. I mean, I have my 10-year-old daughter, and I can say this on the radio because I tease my boys' bosses all the time, probably the best athlete in my family out of my sons and my daughter. She's great. And I could only imagine the day, and thankfully in North Carolina it probably won't happen, but I could only imagine the day that I see some boy who's, I don't know, I'll just say confused. That's what we try to be nice in my house. So we'll just say some confused young man who's running around knocking girls down on the soccer field or on the basketball court. Those happen to be the two sports she plays. And it's interesting. So I watched the national championship basketball game between USC, the USC from here. That's another change. When you come from the West Coast, people say USC, you think University of Southern California. And people are like, no, that's not the real. And I also was given a lesson that the USC out here, University of South Carolina, was here long before the USC out West. And they're the real USC. So,
okay.
So the USC here played against, was it Iowa State? I might have that wrong. But no, it was Iowa State. Yeah,
Caitlin, her name? That was Iowa?
No, it was just Iowa. Okay, it was just Iowa. So, and I watched the.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thank you very much. I watched the game. And first of all, what a wonderful game that was. How exciting. Some of those young women are, they're tremendous. That Caitlin, You have heard of it? What's up? Caitlin Clark. There you go. That Caitlin Clark. She was draining 3-point shots from, I mean, unbelievable, just almost at will. So after the game, I don't know if it was that day or it was a day or two later, they were interviewing the coach down there, Dawn Staley, and they asked her about her opinion on men who believe that they are now women or however they identify, playing NCAA basketball against women. And I watched it again this morning. On the same team. Not a boys team playing a girls team, all together as quote unquote women. And so I watched her answer again this morning because the first time I watched it, I thought, boy, it doesn't seem like she wants to answer the way she did. Because normally if you're all for that, you're proud of it and you just come right out and say it. They had to drag it out of her. And I don't know, but she said that she believes however you feel you are that year is, you know, that's the team or who you are or what gender you identify with. That's the team you should be on. And I don't know if she really feels that way, but I think she missed an opportunity to stand up for the women, you know, young women that she coaches and protect. And that's what we're talking about. North Carolina passed a bill, the North Carolina Fairness in Women's Sports Act, a few months back. Mm-hmm. And I know Vicky was a big proponent of that. And I'm so thankful because now my daughter will only play against biological girls when she plays sports in North Carolina. And I think that's the way it should be. And
it is the way it should be. It's not, it doesn't even make any sense that you can do that because men and women are different. Women are way better at everything, a lot of things than men.
My wife constantly reminds me of that.
Right. So, but, yeah. You know, physically it's different. I mean, you know, I'm a big guy, you're even bigger. And it's just not fair if you go out and that young woman that got hurt in volleyball out west of the state by a man that just crushed her face, it is just ridiculous. And I can't believe people that think that's even possibly right. Then, like, for example, my youngest that goes to Statesville Christian, she's in her senior year. She was going to play this year for the boys baseball team, but she wound up, you know, changing jobs and doing it so it didn't work out. But because I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Because you're playing up.
Yeah,
You know, men are playing down.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think, and, you know, I think that's also what we're missing. And this is across, you know, gender lines or racial lines, religious lines. We should celebrate our differences. That's what made America great. Like, it's that we're all different, but we all come together and we can all respect each other. And like you said, men and women, no matter what they want to say, we are different. I mean, there are women out there in the UFC who could beat me up pretty handily. And I'm a big
quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But the best UFC fighter male could beat the best UFC woman's fighter in about 3 seconds. So, I mean, it's just not fair. And I'm glad, I'm very thankful to Vicky and to the other people up in Raleigh that they got that passed.
Yes, very good.
All right, we'll head to break.
Stay with us. We'll have more of We're Just Saying with NC Senator Vicky Sawyer after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. It's We're Just Saying with North Carolina Senator Vicky Sawyer on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Welcome back to We're Just Saying. And you know what? I've changed my mind.
What?
I identify today as Senator Vicky Sawyer.
Okay.
So I am Senator. I'm sorry. I got
to. I don't identify as your husband.
No, I have to do this. The views by the host Sam Tobias do not necessarily reflect. Do not necessarily reflect the views of Senator Vicky Sawyer, this radio station, or any of its advertisers. Thank you. There you go. That'll keep me out of trouble. All right. I am Sam Tobias filling in for Senator Vicky Sawyer along with her husband, Brett Sawyer.
Yes,
Friend of mine, and this has been almost hour has flown by.
It has.
It's so much fun. It's great. We just basically removed ourselves from other places that we are and put ourselves in a radio studio and continued our chat. So one thing I know that is important to me, again, being as we've established, I'm way right.
Is guns.
I love guns. I think guns in the right hands are very important and fun. Sure, absolutely. And something that the people in Raleigh, the Senate and the House have done is House Bill 41. We are no longer required to get a pistol permit from the sheriff here in North Carolina to buy pistols.
So you can still carry. We don't have to get a concealed carry.
No, I think you still have to. You still have to have your permit to carry concealed here. I think what it changed, right. And trust me, well, I was going to talk about that. I'm a believer in the constitutional carry. So, and that means the Constitution is your concealed carry permit, and that's happening in more and more states across the country. Coming from Arizona, they became a constitutional carry state many years ago. And so I never had a concealed carry permit there because you didn't need one. You were just able to carry concealed. And
because I bought a pistol a few weeks ago and I had my concealed carry and I want to get it back. I just let it lapse by accident. But I went in and, you know, they just ran me through the federal database and, you know, driver's license and checked me out and they let me buy it. So that was fantastic. Yeah. I still got checked out. They still looked me up.
Sure, they always do. And that's kind of a misconception that you hear from people on the left or people that don't know about guns or have never actually purchased a gun. Because if you've purchased a gun, you understand that you are going to be run through a federal background check every time you buy a gun. Yes. A new gun. Now,
every single time.
Doesn't matter if you bought one 3 days earlier, you're going to be put through that background check. So I did feel, to be honest, moving here from Arizona, I felt the need to get an additional permit from your sheriff or licensor. I forget what they called it, but to go out and buy a pistol was kind of repetitive. I mean, you didn't need to do it. So I'm glad that it's gone. Now, I went and got my concealed carry permit pretty quickly after we moved here. So you can use that in place of the sheriff's permit when buying a handgun in North Carolina, you know, up until a few days, weeks ago when they changed it. But that was in replacement. Once you went through that and were background checked and got your concealed carry permit, handgun permit, then you could just use that. But I'm glad to see that has gone away. Being as far right as I am,
Responsible gun owner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, well, here's another thing I love. And I've heard people running for school board as we speak, right? I guess it's not happening right now, but I've seen their platforms are, they don't like that the ISS, Iredell Safe School District, has sheriffs essentially at their schools every day. They don't like it.
I love it.
And of course, they're liberal people running for school board, but yeah.
I heard Woody Washam on this very show yesterday touting the fact that in Cornelius, every single school has an SRO.
Oh, they do that down here too. That's great. Oh, I agree. I when I drop off my kids at the schools they go to, up in Mooresville, and there's a sheriff helping, and they do it at one. He's actually there helping. You know, there's the car drop-off line, and there's teachers and the principal and the sheriff, and they're opening doors, helping people. I love it. I want more sheriffs and this feeling that, oh, it makes certain, makes certain kids feel intimidated because there's a sheriff. I don't know. And I mean, and
makes
this
makes me more.
Yeah. And it makes me, I don't want to sound, but I don't care. Like, I want my kids to be safe. And I don't believe the answer is, I've said this, if you could wave a magic wand and get rid of all the guns in America, maybe I would be for it. Maybe. I mean, there's a whole thing about, the guns of the great equalizer.
Who would you trust to tell you that?
Well, they're all gone. No, I know. That's true. And you know what? And I think women.
Then they're going to confiscate your gold after that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think women, the gun is the great equalizer for a woman. So let's say we got rid of all the guns. Somehow we could make, wave a magic wand. Then people who were elderly people, certain women, they would be at a disadvantage. So even that's not a real answer, but let's just say we could get rid of all the guns. Maybe that would be the answer, but we can't. The Pandora's out of the box. And now I think we need more guns in the hands of good people.
Well, cause Vicky and my oldest daughter just got their concealed carries recently. Because sometimes, Vicky's in precarious places, evenings and just at meetings and things like that. And so I bought her a couple different guns and so she can, determine which one she likes better and, which sure. one's easier to use. And because, you don't need one until you do.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
And that
true.
Is just, especially for women, it's just so spooky and, just to have them out there. And so it is the great equalizer, but you do have to. And that's why the concealed carry class is good. It teaches you good gun ownership, how to respect it, how to handle it, understand what you have. And it is, I just love it. I just don't see anything wrong. It's more education. And just, I think, you can't have enough education, regardless of what you're talking about.
I agree. And I have heard, because there are some representatives up in Raleigh, I believe, that are talking about taking the next step to turn North Carolina into a constitutional carry state. And as a person who's open to listen to.
So what's that mean?
So that means that the Constitution is your concealed carry permit. That means you don't need a concealed carry. Okay. Any American citizen.
Except where they say you can't.
Correct. Like it's still schools.
Federal things.
Actually, I don't know if banks are one. That's interesting. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, but it's typically places that sell alcohol, especially open containers of alcohol, schools, federal buildings, things like that. But mm-hmm. And I get that. Like I get that.
Sure.
That those places have to be restricted. But the argument against constitutional carry is that, well, you need to get training to drive a car. So should you have training to have a gun? And you know, and I get that. Like, I don't know as though I don't think there's been facts. There's facts or statistics that say that when a state goes constitutional carry, there's a bunch of people out there carrying concealed weapons who are not, you know, not trained to do so. And there's accidents happening because of that. I don't know if there's stats for that, but I get that. I'm just kind of going off what you were saying. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going to training. And I took that class. It was a day. Did I learn? Now, I grew up hunting, shooting, target shooting, things like that. So did I learn anything that day? I learned about the laws. That was good. Mm-hmm. Actually, the classroom part of it that taught you, especially being new to North Carolina, that taught about, you know, what the laws are here. When can you use lethal force to protect yourself. It's a little looser here, I think, than Arizona. Yeah, I like that. North Carolina is called, I could be wrong about these terms because it's been a while, but Castle Doctrine, I think it is. And so it's your house, your business, your car.
They're on your property.
You can protect them, and you don't have to, you know, some states you have to see if the burglar has a weapon.
You can shoot him in the doorway here.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And yeah, but it's like, you don't, if you're in my house and I don't think you're supposed to be there, I don't have to wait to see a gun. I can take care of business and move on. But
my uncle taught my oldest how to shoot a shotgun, and he was a master trooper over multiple counties right around here. And he's got some land out in Catawba County. So Sydney went out there with him, and he taught her how to shoot a shotgun and how to shoot it. And then he blindfolded her and made her learn that. He said, because the shotgun is what you need at your house.
That is true.
He said, then you don't have to aim. He said, and if it's dark, you have to know how to do that. Because, man, I can't imagine how scary that would be if you walk into your house, you're in your house and someone comes in at night.
I agree.
Where's your gun? You know, I mean, I got my guns up and everything else, but I mean, it makes you wonder how even good is that? Because, you know, you need them out and about. But
I agree. I always think I would be okay. You know, I could handle that situation, but adrenaline is quite a thing. It changes even your ability to grip things. And so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, you know, hopefully we'll never see, but I guess I would find out if a situation arose like that I would have to protect my family I'm thankful to our state Senate and our state house
somebody could be
passing stuff like this.
You know, if you're in a neighborhood, you could have some older people that don't know what's going on and, you know, that walk into the wrong house or something, like our president. Kind of like,
you know, which, here's the deal. Hey, man.
This is no joke.
Yeah, how you doing? He starts shaking people's hands.
That don't exist.
That don't exist. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I wonder if he's going to make it this time.
Is,
you think they're going to put him up?
I keep saying no, but they keep pushing.
Who are they going to put it as vice? Because they can't get rid of her.
Well, if he is the actually runs for president, if he's their nominee, and I think it still will be her, but it won't be her if it's not him. If I had to put money on it, I'd say it'd be someone like Gavin Newsom, I think that nobody likes him, but he is just much more polished and much better at speaking. Well, anyone is. Anyone's better than speaking. My 6-year-old nephew's better at giving a speech than Joe Biden. But
that is true.
But I don't know if he'll make it. I don't understand. 300 million people here, half of 150 million Democrats, let's say.
And we're down to the same two.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's it.
There's no other two people that we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a fan of Trump. So, but I agree. Like it's just the same people over and over again all the time.
It is. I mean, I think Trump has some of the best policies that have ever affected our nation. But I also now think he's a distraction.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, I was. That's a whole nother. We're running a little short on time. Yeah, but I agree.
Done here.
I agree. I hope that Trump. Same thing. Policies are great. I hope that he does tone it down a little, or maybe he shouldn't, because that's what he won him the presidency the first time. Who knows? But we'll see. This should be an interesting next few months, that's for sure.
It would. Well, now we got to go get some chicken wings.
That's right.
We got to eat some during the daytime.
I don't know about that. That means I've just given up on health completely. So, well, thank you, Brett. Thank you, Senator Vicky Sawyer, for having me on. And everybody enjoy the rest of their Friday.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.